reading from the book of Isaiah 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I want to put the Lord to the test." And Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste." This is the word of the Lord.
Is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that come from faith for his name's sake. And you are also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate her marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
While we are standing, let's affirm together our common faith in Jesus Christ. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our focus today is on Joseph of the New Testament. Behind every successful man is his woman. That's what we have been hearing, and I believe so. But in Joseph's, in Mary's case, behind Mother Mary stood a strong man, Joseph. He is hidden in the Christmas story, but he teaches us three important lessons. He holds two things very perfectly. There are three things he holds together very perfectly, and that's what our discussion this morning. I want to read verse 19 of chapter 1 of Matthew. Being a righteous man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. In that culture, if a man and a woman are engaged, that means they are almost married. The entire society knows that this man is going to get married with this woman. It's fixed. If they don't want to get into marriage, then they have to divorce. That's the norm of the day. Now, when he heard about Mary being pregnant, he decided to send her away, dismiss her peacefully or quietly. He doesn't want to make a big noise out of it. In other words, Joseph is holding truth and love. He wants to have the standard that is set by God, and at the same time, he also wants to take care of Mary. He wants to love her and care for her. He holds these two things, truth and love. A righteous man, he holds this righteous love. The hardest thing in the world is holding on one hand the truth and the other hand showing the care and love. That's the hardest thing. We need these both things. In other words, if I lean towards godly standard, then I have to watch out the temptations it brings. What is the temptation? I may become judgmental. I may criticize others. This is a standard. People are not up to the standard. And not only that, I become self-righteous. I am the righteous person in the world. No one is righteous. And my action is wholehearted. I don't want to help such people because they don't deserve. If I lean towards holding the truth, holding God's standard, then I need to be watch out of these temptations. I still remember when I was a missionary, going from one village to another village, we had to once cross a forest, a small forest, but we had to cross. My co-worker and I, we were in our own bikes. As we were riding through the forest, we saw a person lying on the side of the path. My friend wanted to help him. In a forest, why a person should lie down like this? Probably he's not able to walk. So he wanted to take him on his bike, so I helped him. We somehow put him on the bike, and he started riding. As we were riding for some distance, he noticed that this man was fully drunk. He was fully drunk, and he decided not to take him any further. He said, "Oh, Harrison, he's fully drunk." Then I also supported. We threw him out of this bike, and we carried our journey. We thought he doesn't deserve to be on our bike. We need better deserved people to be on our bike. We hold the standard high, but no care for the people. The other side of it is, if you are leaning more towards loving people, watch out of this temptation. You may dilute the standard. You may compromise. Your values are compromised. You may syncretism can take place, and also the uniqueness that you have will also erode it. So we had to keep these things together, the truth and the love, and Joseph did it very beautifully. That's what we see in our Lord Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us with full of truth and grace," or grace and truth. What is truth? The truth is that we are unqualified, we are unfit, we are sinners, we cannot come closer to God. That is the truth. We are fallen short of the standard of God. What is the grace? Yes, Jesus is full of grace. He says, "Okay, I qualify you, I make you fit." And that's the reason he died for us on the cross and rose again the third day. He's full of truth and grace. Are we holding this truth and grace in all our relationships? Do we hold that? We all have, we all deal with people. We all meet with people. We all talk to people. We have relationship with people. Are we holding these two things together? Truth and love? If you don't do that, it is something like this. Most of us do that, and that's the reason Christianity is being criticized all these years. It is something like operation is successful, but the patient died. We hold that kind of a name as of now. Shall we hold these two things together, truth and love? The second point that I want to bring is, he received God's call and committing himself to that call. Two things: receiving the call and committing himself to fulfill the calling. These two things he hold together. In our first lesson today from Isaiah, King Ahaz was unwilling to ask for sign. What is the context of it? The context is this, that King of Israel and King of Syria, both of them came against King of Judea, who is the king of, who is Ahaz the king. He was threatened. He was threatened, so he went to King of Assyria. This is the context. Prophet Isaiah is coming to him and saying to him that don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. God is there to help you. Why you are going here and there? Why you are running here and there? That's Prophet Isaiah's support to him. So in that context, he was unwilling to listen to Prophet Isaiah. He has already resolved, he already decided that he would go to King Assyria. So Prophet Isaiah said, "Ask for a sign. Ask for a sign." But he said, "No, I'm not going to ask for a sign. If I ask for a sign, that would be unacceptable in the sight of God. So I will not ask." In other words, he was unwilling to listen to God's call. He was unwilling to listen to God's guidance. He already decided that he would go to King Assyria. And that's the reason Prophet Isaiah gave this sign. Okay, you are not asking the sign, but I'm giving you a sign. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. Whether you take the call or not, God is always interested in us. He is going to come in. He's going to come. He is Emmanuel. God is with us. His call is always available. Are you willing to receive it? That's his call. That's Prophet Isaiah's call. Are you receiving God's call? Now, we know in Joseph's case, he wanted to dismiss Mary quietly. He resolved. He already decided. According to Matthew, Joseph had a simple dream. A dream. Both Josephs, both Old Testament Joseph as well as New Testament Joseph, both have one thing in common. They are good in dreams. Will you obey your dream? The choice was fully on him. It was up to him. He already decided to leave, to dismiss Mary quietly, but he chose to accept Mary. He chose to take Mary with him. This decision brought major changes in his life. He had to undergo various difficulties in life. He supported Mary through her pregnancy, no physical intimacy. 80 kilometers of journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. When baby arrived, there were other difficulties. They flew to Egypt. They were constantly living under threat. And when they came back after a couple of years, Jesus was his stepson. But he raised this special boy. The child was not his, not from his bloodline, but he did everything with commitment, devotion, and passion. So receiving the call is something, but devoting and committing to the call is another thing. And Joseph held both together very beautifully. He received the call. He had the choice of not to receive the call, but he received the call. He not only received the call, but he lived up to that call. He committed himself to live to that calling. I have two examples from the Old Testament. One is Jonah. He received the call, but he did not commit himself to that call. Of course, we know he ran away, but God brought him to Nineveh. He was not at all interested to go, even after the 3 nights of being in the belly of the fish. Nothing has changed. Of course, he was pushed to Nineveh, and he was not at all happy to go and preach. He walked to the middle of the city, which we had to walk quite a distance, and he came to the middle of the city, and he said 5-word sermon. That's all. He preached only 5-word sermon. What did he preach? 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's what all his preaching. Only once he preached 5-word sermon, if you look at the original Hebrew, it's only 5-word sermon. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And that sermon has brought change into the people we know. But at the end, when you read, Jonah was not at all happy. I don't know whether God was pleased with Jonah, because God was trying to explain things to him. He was not at all willing to listen. Reluctant prophet. The call came, but he did not act act with enthusiasm. He did not commit himself. The another example from the Old Testament is King Saul. He received the call to be the king of Israel. Samuel anointed him, which is a wonderful thing, the first king of Israel. He but obeyed partially. Partial obedience leads to rejection. Half-hearted obedience leads to rejection. God was not pleased with him and he was rejected. Yes, we all have received call from God. No two opinion on that. Either you are you may be a husband or a wife, a father, a mother, a grandparent. All is call. God has given you the responsibility. God has given you the responsibility to be a church member. We have all received this call. Are we taking this call seriously? Are we committing ourselves to this calling? Are we doing it half-heartedly? This is the question that we need to be asking. Are we committing ourselves? Are we committing to do it wholeheartedly? I want to read a verse from Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord, not for people. This is the words that we have taken for next year. Do it everything from your heart. Do it everything from your heart. As something you do for the Lord and not for people. Joseph held both these things very beautifully, receiving the call and committing himself to the calling. Then third point that I want to come is he was being humble and being silent. One leads to the other. Humility means inner position, inner posture of the heart. But silence is outward expression or external behavior. Why these two things are important? These two things are important because sometimes we are silent, but we are still proud. But being humble, it doesn't mean that we don't make the unnecessary voices. What do we learn from Joseph? In a nativity play, choosing an actor for the role of Joseph is easy. Why? He does not have dialogues. A silent man. Nowhere in the scripture Joseph spoke. Of course, Mary spoke, but Joseph never spoke. Silent man. Of course, he is not mentioned in all four Gospels. He was mentioned only in Matthew and Luke. Luke is not using his name that generously. Twice his name, Joseph, appears, but then pronoun is used. Matthew is also using very sparingly. Only the first chapter you come to know the name Joseph. He is a silent man. But he played a very important role. He played a very important role in the gospel story that we have. But silent. He gave his full support to Mary. Full support. But silent. He had gone through various difficulties, but silent. He fulfilled his calling successfully, accomplished his purpose, but silent. What a wonderful person he is. He was humble and also silent. Humility asks this question, how can I honor God? Silent asks this question, should I speak now? Should I speak now? Now, we have to remember that being humble is not voiceless. At the same time, being silent is not weakness. Joseph understood this and he kept both in his hands, being humble and being silent. What I'm saying is, when we do service, we do not need to make a noise about it. The Lord who sees in secret will reward you. That's the reason Jesus very beautifully said in Luke chapter 17, verse 10, whenever you complete a task, whenever you do the work, say this, we are worthless slaves, we have done only what we ought to have done. Three things. Do we hold truth and love? Do we carry our calling and completing the calling wholeheartedly? Are we humble and be silent? May the dear Lord help us so that Joseph is our model and we follow the model he set for us. God bless us all. Amen. Shall we stand to our feet and sing this response song?